Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana. You found us on whatever podcast app you are listening to us on, and
we are live on youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Hello, YouTube room. Hello. We have some people in the room already. Hello, Frank, throwing up the frogs and the clovers.
Hello.
Hello, Job Nobbly. I'll never know how to say your name. Who's throwing up a vomit emoji. Oh.
Either we look
celebrating
that.
Celebrating early,
or,
I think.
Yeah. Either they had a really wild night or we look gross today. So.
Hello, Adam, throwing up the clover emoji. Hello, Walt, who said he had a blast in Boston at Big Business.
Wow.
That's a bit of a blast at Boston Big Business.
Sure, it was pretty wild in Boston this weekend.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, yeah.
Departed.
The Green River.
Exactly. Yeah. Welcome. It is Sunday, the 17th of March, 2024.
The Lord's Day.
The Frog's Day. Where are my frogs at here today? And we're going to chat about everything going on in the world of wrestling. But it is St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy Green Beer Day. Happy Hangover Day. Happy Drink Water Day, whatever it is to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. All our Irish listeners, all our people of Irish descent.
Yes, happy St. Patrick's Day to every Irish person we know, except Neil Flanagan.
Except Neil. So we thought today was a very special day. So we put the bat signal out and we were like, Neil, we need you on the show because, you know, I feel like you're the only person we can talk to on this kind of day about where the fuck is Kate Middleton?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And conspiracy or not, hour before we go live today, he says he can't make it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Around the same time that new news dropped that another photo has been photoshopped. Yeah.
Something's going on. Yeah, something's
Pippa's
going on.
Pippa's boyfriend's dead.
So
Kate's missing. I still need a video her holding today's date. I need her in a Guinness hat, a Jameson scarf, holding up a newspaper of St. Patrick's Day with today's headlines.
Okay, so I mean, we are joking, but we have a friend.
Oh,
I'm
not.
We invited Neil on, and he was like, "Absolutely, let's do it." And then an hour before the show, he's like, "Oh, actually, I can't." And I think he got a little scared because of the whole Kate Middleton controversy and conspiracy going around. And I'm thinking Neil just couldn't trust himself to come on this show and say certain things because, I mean, we're safe. We're over here
doesn't
in Canada.
He has a government job, doesn't he?
I was going to say, like, he's still overseas.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the Irish got it rough, like, you know, all these times. So he's maybe just playing it a little safe. Best not say anything at all, if you know what I mean. So
maybe she is here. Maybe she made amends with Meghan and Harry and hiding out one of their Canadians, one of Meghan's Toronto spots.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, in one of the Suits buildings where they filmed that show. See, the conspiracy, that's how it works.
Yeah.
You just say one thing, and then someone else hears you say that one thing, and then it just snowballs.
We're thinking of just doing a conspiracy show for the LOLs.
Yeah.
If you're interested, throw up the frog.
Yeah. So we're going to get into some St. Patrick's Day shenanigans and shamrocks and everything. Yes, hello everyone in the chat. We love you people. Thank you so much. But what is this deal with Kate Middleton? What's the story here? In like a few words or less. So there's a photo. We kind of went over it on Up Next. But actually, the fun part happened after we recorded Up Next.
Yeah.
Because I forgot what we were talking about. And then we were editing the show, and I put Up Next up, and I'm like, what is going on with Kate Middleton? So then I started Twitter rabbit-holing, and oh, man.
Because you weren't really aware of this until I brought it up to you. And I think the worst thing is to learn something like this when you're trying to go to bed. Because, oh, I'll have a quick look on Twitter, and you know how those rabbit holes go.
Yeah.
And you dig. And then suddenly you're like, David, have you heard of...
Who's Thomas so-and-so? I don't even remember who the fuck it is now, but really? Thomas who? Kingston.
Thomas Kingston.
Okay, so this guy, Thomas Kingston, is, or was, dating Middleton's sister.
Yeah.
And now, a little while ago, he passes away, some say, by suicide.
Mm.
And his funeral is this weekend, but the internet sleuths are all putting this and tying this all together that there must be something going on. And by the time I could type in the words Thomas Kingston into Twitter, there was already millions of people basically alleging that there was some sort of an affair and that the to-be king is all behind this because he doesn't want anything out and that he may or may not have gotten a body double to get, what, AI-generated body face transplants to get his new wife to look like his old
wife.
The
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like...
try to keep up, guys. We're, yeah, this is so all
yeah,
real.
This it started in December. Apparently, Kate went in for some surgery, and people started getting worried. Obviously, there's a lot of people. A lot of people are completely not interested, but there's a hell of a lot of people interested in the royal family and what's going on. And no one heard from Kate for a little bit. No public appearances.
Yeah.
And people found it a little suspicious. So fast forward a little bit, all these rumors were going around. It's gone everywhere from, oh, Kate had a Brazilian butt lift, all the way to being involved with the murder of Thomas Kingston and potentially the murder of Kate Middleton. It's all ridiculous. It's all absurd. But then a picture comes out, released by Buckingham Palace, of Kate with her kids last Sunday on Mother's Day.
Right.
And for photos to be, like, published in the press, they've got to be, like, verified that they're authentic, especially today with AI and deepfakes and all that. And multiple, like, outlets that kind of check these things notice that these were photoshopped. So then, after that, obviously the conspiracies ran wild. Why are there Photoshop pictures of Kate Middleton being released? Now, because she's been poorly, I believe they haven't had the, like, palace photographer come in. Normally they have a specific photographer.
Right.
So it was a photo taken by William, is what they're saying.
Oh.
And Kate's like, oh, I'm just like everyone else. Like, I enjoy dabbling around with Photoshop. I mean, we do it too. We do it all the time. I was going to, for the show image, have Kate holding you, me, and Neil, but then Neil let us down. But there still hasn't been any video. As I said, I need her holding today's paper.
Yeah.
And then, like, just for the lols, before we go live, I do my daily type Kate Middleton into X.
Yeah.
And now it's saying the UK Guardian Observer desk is now talking about another picture that was manipulated by Kate Middleton. So, obviously, people are going wild, and we'll continue to have some fun with this until we see Kate's replacement, and we can compare and contrast how similar
that is. Either Paul McCartney or Avril Lavigne is involved somehow, and, I mean, hopefully, this all leads to my suspicion is that Kate Middleton will be Onita's mystery partner at the ECW tribute show.
Okay, I mean, I was going to say we are a wrestling podcast. Surely this leads to Kate Middleton versus Kate Middleton,
right? Yeah. Winner gets to be Kate Middleton. this is all ridiculous. You put it into social media, and it's just absolutely blown up. But when there's smoke, there's fire. Because, like, there's no way she was photoshopping. I'm sorry, I don't believe it.
I mean, I believe that, like, these are real people and, you know, probably get bored. And
are they, though? Are they real people? Yeah. They're lizard alien people.
Like, I can, like, just because you're royalty doesn't mean you don't, like, you know, playing about on the computer.
I don't know. I kind of doubt that, though. Like, if I'm, like, a rich prince, for an example, I wish I was, and I was like, Davey got really lit last night. You should see this photo of him. I should Photoshop it and put, you know, his face on someone else's body for the group chat. The guys will love it. If I'm like a prince, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be like, hey, quickly, do this for me. And they go, yeah, sure. And then they do it, and then they send
it. But somehow, like, I enjoy doing it. Yeah. Some people enjoy, like, manipulating photos.
I just feel like She wouldn't know. Like, I feel like she doesn't do all that. Right. So I don't believe all the chaos that she's being replaced, at least right now. Yeah. You know, until, you know, I trust. But I don't.
It's more fun to believe.
Yeah. It's way more fun. But I genuinely don't believe that when they're like, oh, my mistake. Just like everyone else, I like to Photoshop. Really? Because when I Photoshop my pictures, I'm usually putting like a giant dick next to like a friend's picture.
But
hers is like a family photo.
I understand like the, like for any celebrity, the want for privacy at times. Like, obviously, celebrities, you are putting yourself out in the public, and there comes a cost with that.
And she's been scrutinized in real life for many 100%. Years.
100%. And if following, like, the Harry and Meghan stuff, and especially, like, you look what happened with Diana, like, it's awful. But wouldn't you, if there were all these rumors, if every day you put on Twitter and there's rumors about your demise or whatever, wouldn't you just record a little video, do a rock style promo wearing a cowboy hat, being like,
I'm fine.
Hey, fuck Cody's story, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm alive.
Yeah, so she hasn't done that.
No.
Therefore, she ain't alive.
Yeah.
She is missing, and we're going to get her replacement, and her kids are going to be like, Mommy, you sound a little different. No. I'm exactly the same. We're sending you off to boarding school, though, for the next 18 years. Anyways, I'm to be the queen soon.
Yeah.
Like, this is all very shady. So, at Poison Rana Pod and everyone in the YouTube chat here today, would love your best theories on Kate Middleton because, man, there's a lot. Could this all be for, like, what does this help the to-be prince gain from this? Because, like, again, think of it like that. Because,
I mean,
he is going to be king.
We can't have lightning striking twice, can we, with this family?
Like, what do you mean?
Like, oh, Diana.
You know,
like, and if something awful has happened, they're gonna, like, it's gonna look real sus, right?
So we're starting a search group.
Yeah.
We're gonna go and find Kate Middleton. Where in the world is Kate Middleton?
Looking at the chat, Jake is asking, is Kate dead? That's what we're all trying to figure out. Frank is saying he saw a bunch of memes about this, but didn't quite understand it until our show. So, you know, us doing the good work there and making the people know.
Yeah, everything we're saying is true.
Chris Leone says there is no way Kate Middleton knows how to Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank saying he doesn't even know how to do it. I can't imagine the future queen does. And Adam is suggesting best match ever, Diana versus Kate. Yeah, who kissed those babies the best?
I don't need to shit on the royal family. Poor Kate Middleton. She's probably been through a lot, but she's also very rich and... And maybe dead, possibly. But, you know, pour one out if that's the case. But I'm a Diana. Diana was the OG. Everyone liked Diana.
Yeah.
She was like the real Rage Against the Machine kind of like, screw you. Because she was, you know, dicked around a lot.
She passed away on the day of my 7th birthday party.
Right.
I believe. Yeah. I was all excited. Woke up. I was going to go bowling with my friends. Got a new Tamagotchi.
Nice.
And woke up early, all excited. Ran down to watch... Saturday morning cartoons, and every channel was saying the same. Princess Diana's dead. And I go up to my parents, wake them up, and I go, hey, the TV's broken. Every TV's saying that Diana's dead.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
And soon that'll happen with Kate.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm liking all the theories. I'm looking through different ones that it's the COVID-19 vaccination that did this to her.
Okay, yep.
Obviously, you knew that one had to come out here.
I'm sure it's to, you know, it's to stop Biden winning this election somehow as well.
Yeah, Kate Middleton's trying to stop Biden.
Yeah, involved with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce somehow for reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's like ridiculous things out here. I mean, there's things saying that, like you said, that they're going to swap her out for someone else, the Paul McCartney. So she'll be walking around with no shoes for a little while. But, like, yeah, pretty crazy.
I'd love to start doing either as a segment or a show in itself. But I'm just worried about, you know, people thinking we're nuts or, you know, being sued or whatever. But just to say, what's the most outlandish rumor you've heard this week in pro wrestling or whatever, and like just dive
just
into
in
it.
Life. You know what? Just tell me all your rumors and conspiracies about anything. Yeah. I'm always open to listening.
Hanzi, if you're listening, our line is always open.
Yes, I hit him up about this Kate Middleton thing, and he basically said it's all. Some people are thinking this is all like created drama to kind of distract people.
Okay.
Some people are saying, like, she's fine. And right. this is just, like, to get people talking about them in not a bad way. But this kind of makes people talk about she's people are saying she's dead. So.
Yeah.
And lizard people and aliens. And
yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, the king is, like, ill as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought that the king had sausage fingers, and then someone sent me someone sent me a Photoshop photo of his fingers as sausages, and it really, like, I didn't sleep.
It's quite creepy.
But, yeah, hopefully Kate Middleton is okay and can still be the guest announcer at WrestleMania.
Yes. Now, hello, everybody. Unfortunately, we can't do anything to help support Kate Middleton on this show.
No.
But you can do something to help support the Pandas, because in just a few weeks...
Oh, wow.
Brayden, myself, our good friends... Sam Jackson, Jesse from the Six, and John and Wei from Post Wrestling are once again climbing the CN Tower, all 144 flight stairs,
I believe. More than that.
We did this a year ago with very little training, and we're all pretty proud of ourselves with how we did. Well, we're doing it again, and this time we know our times to beat, and we are raising money for the World Wildlife Fund. So if you want to support us, go over to postwrestling.com/WWF, and you'll be able to put it in your donation. And even if it's like a dollar, every little helps. And help us, give us the motivation to climb the CN Tower.
That's right. Get the F in, because we are going to climb the CN Tower, one of the highest, or at one point, one of the highest man-made structures in the world. Mm. And it's just across the street from our apartment right now. And in a few weeks, we'll be climbing it yet again. Last year, we survived. That was the most important part. Mm. I actually was able to do it. So this year, will I survive again? Find out.
Yes.
We shall see. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to climb this thing. We're going to raise money for animals, the WWF, even snakes.
Any animal. Even snakes. Every animal counts. Every animal matters.
So if you don't like animals, then, like, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
So support us, postwrestling.com/WWF.
Yeah, we did well raising money last year, but we'd love to break our total from last year.
We did. We made a lot of money. Like, legit, the people were like, whoa, you guys, like, raised some money. And we're like, fuck yeah, we're post-wrestling.
I accidentally, I paid, like, my donation to do it.
Yeah,
and
I haven't yet.
For some reason, I apparently just doubled that. I got my bill. I think I'm pressing $25 and I'm getting, you have donated $53. Thank you. And you're like... didn't really mean to do that, but don't really want to take away from
charity. Can I have my donation
either.
Back?
Like,
Sorry, I need that $20 back. Yeah. Well, it's going to a good cause.
It is.
You just saved the panda.
Absolutely.
So you can help save the pandas too by donating for the cause.
Yeah.
And we're going to climb some steps.
And if you're on the fence, shall I support these guys or not? Go onto YouTube and type in animals behaving like humans. And which we do more... Then we should.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, then it will give you the motivation.
Animals are just like you and me.
But there's other ways you can support us. Obviously, we have our Patreon, and we have a hell of a month as we're on the road to WrestleMania. We're putting in the extra hours this month. We're doing, I think we're adding like 3 bonus shows on this schedule as we're doing a full Philly schedule. We started off with a couple of unrelated things. We did our Was Next review, looking at the March 13th, 2014 edition of NXT. We just had the first ever NXT special, and we're starting to build up to the rematch between Bo Dallas and Adrian Neville for the NXT Championship.
Yeah, like definitely still the early days of NXT, but after the arrival is kind of an interesting time, because that's when even more viewers start to go to it, and it blows up with Sami Zayn and all that fun stuff. So always a fun time doing that show. We did another NXT review. I haven't put it out yet, but I'm putting it out later today on our Patreon. A match, very special and near and dear to our hearts and many more out there. We are finally looking for the first time ever at NXT TakeOver Philadelphia, all the way back from 2018, and it features Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas and Chill. And we're going to chat about that whole takeover, including that match. We recorded this yesterday, and we spent a lot of time marking out and loving off that match.
Yeah, really interesting time to go back and look. It's 6 years ago now. It doesn't really feel that long, but a lot has changed in that time. A lot of the characters we're talking about still relevant today. You've got Aleister Black versus Adam Cole in a hell of a Extreme Rules match. And we talk about Velveteen Dream and what could have been with him. So really interesting show there. We also put out an Up Yours with our world champion patron, Chris Elliott, where he picked Wallace and Gromit. And this has been one that I wasn't sure. I know it's a thing in the UK. I wasn't sure how it is kind of overseas, but had a lot of people messaging being like, fuck yeah, Wallace and Gromit. I love that. And if you haven't watched it, before you listen to the review, they're only about 25 minutes each, and they are available for free online. And they're just good fun to watch. If you want to just sit down, chill, kind of switch your brain off and have some fun, these are classic British classic shorts, and one of them even won an award, I believe.
Yes, many of them won. We're looking at a Grand Day Out, which is the first one, and then the second one, which is The Wrong Trousers, which that one is very critically acclaimed. And watching it back was so much fun, too. Even as an adult, had me like chuckling and cracking up. So it was a great show to go back and watch and a great show to review. We had our boy Chris on, who we chatted all about that and growing up and watching it and all that stuff. So anyone out there who likes cheese, Gromit,
cheese,
that is the show for you. And appreciate all the kind words so far for that. But yeah, those are some shows that we had just put out this week, and we have some more because today is St. Patrick's Day, which means we reviewed another stupid-ass Leprechaun movie, and oh boy, this one takes the cake so far. Leprechaun 4 in Space, where you can kind of guess what happens in this one. The Leprechaun goes to space.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
Why? No idea.
No real explanation, but there's explosions, there's space battles, there's aliens, there's gratuitous boob shots, and some great deaths.
Yes.
So possibly one of the best deaths in a horror movie ever. I mean, one of the worst deaths.
That was pretty good. Yeah. But you'll have to listen.
The movie
watch
wasn't.
The film.
The movie
to
wasn't
find out
good.
What we're talking about.
Very awful movie. Actually, don't watch it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that to you and tell you to watch that movie. But you can listen to our review, which was pretty fun.
Also on Philly Month, we will be doing next week our review of Rocky. This coincides with the release of our Rocky-inspired Philly T-shirt for Poison Rana, which you can get at shop-t/PoisonRana. I'm really looking forward to this. A movie that I've never actually seen beginning to end.
Wow.
So we're going to be talking all about Sly, all about the Rocky Steps and boxing and all that. That's coming out this week.
Yeah, we're going to be reviewing that this week, and I'm very excited. I love Rocky. Specifically, the original Rocky is just such an awesome movie, and it will be a great review, especially because we're going to Philly, but it's got boxing in it and close enough to wrestling. So it'll make for a fun review as well. So any Rocky fans out there, will put up the feedback thread maybe today or tomorrow, and would love for you guys to write in about some memories watching the Rocky movies.
And then on our trip to Philly this year, we're actually going to be attending the ECW Arena for Tribute to the Extreme 2?
Yes.
So we thought this would be a great time to go back and watch a classic ECW event that took place from the ECW Arena. And I'm going to reveal the winner of the
poll. Oh, the tadpole.
Right now. That we put on our Facebook group. Please go ahead and join that if you haven't already. And it was between November to Remember 95, Hostile City Showdown 95, Big Ass Extreme Bash 96, A Matter of Respect 96, and Wrestlepalooza 1997. And in third place, Hostile City Showdown. Second place, November to Remember. And in first place, it is Big Ass Extreme Bash 1996,
yes.
Night 2.
Yes.
This includes Taz versus Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio versus Juventud Guerrera.
Oh, what an insane match. Can't wait to watch it.
Raven versus Shane Douglas for the ECW Championship. And the Sandman, Too Cold Scorpio versus the Gangsters versus the Headhunters. Yeah, an event I've never seen. So really looking forward to go back and talk about this.
I'm pretty sure we have chatted about that Rey Mysterio match just because I love it so much. But this event is on the network. It's in the ECW archives there. Big Ass Extreme Bash Night 2. So we'll be looking at this week. Get any feedback in, you ECW fans. And we're going to be excited because, like you said, in some of these wrestlers are still wrestling, if you can call it that. They're obviously up there in age, and it's going to be a bit of a train wreck of a show at that show, but I'm excited.
Absolutely, it's going to be good fun.
So we'll chat about Big Ass Extreme Bash and Rocky this upcoming week on our Patreon. So sign up, because that's $5 for a whole month. You get all these shows, and that equals like pennies per podcast there. So support your boys. It helps us buy us a beer in Philly.
Absolutely.
And a cheesesteak.
Final plug. I think this is final plug. Maybe we'll plug
more. We'll probably plug the whole show more.
But John Cena just put out an interview on this very feed with Brian XL, the co-owner and booker of House of Glory, and talking all things with him about, people on the scene to kind of look out for who are on the up. Certain talents they are looking to book for future House of Glory shows. House of Glory definitely getting the indie buzz, I would say. And also talk about some chopped cheese as well. So you can listen to that almost 20-minute interview on this podcast as they're going into WrestleMania season with their co-branded show with Wrestling Revolver.
Yeah, I mean, House of Glory in the New York area, the Queens, they take over, man. Like, it looks like so much fun. We see a lot of our listeners. Cena goes to all the shows, Frank as well, and it looks like a great time. And then, yeah, a bunch of us got tickets to Revolver versus Hog at Mania Weekend in Philly, which we'll all be there as well. So pretty cool to see, like, the indies kind of popping off a bit. Like, again, wrestling is really popular right now, and I'd say since, like, AEW, which is, like, 5 years strong now, the indies took a big hit because it was the alternative.
And everyone's now getting gobbled up.
Yeah, now AEW's the alternative, and they're, like, hiring everybody. So it is still nice to see, like, some of the indies, like, thrive. Like, where we are in Toronto, we have Demand Lucha. In fact, they have, like, done stuff with House of Glory. In fact, we're going there this upcoming Thursday. So if you're in the Toronto area and you're around for Dynamite, You should check out that show because it'll be an absolutely a banger of a time. So look for all the indie stuff and check out that interview with Cena because it was pretty good.
Cena's the man.
Yeah. And I know he loves House of Glory and going to all these shows and stuff. So we're our paw prints are all over the place. New York, Philly, Toronto.
What Cena is great at, and it's something I don't personally think I'm very good at, is he doesn't care. He'll go up to someone and just talk to them.
Right.
You know, which is great, especially for getting interviews and stuff. I feel you and I are often being like, okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Bugging people sometimes.
Yeah, kind of. And Cena, I wouldn't say he bugs people, but yeah. He's great at just being like, oh, I want to talk to that person. He's the best at that.
Yeah, so check out that interview. Check us out at House of Glory, Demand Lucha, all the wrestling. And then if you are in the Toronto area, you should be going to Demand on Thursday. But if you're going to Dynamite in Toronto, we will be going and we will be partying right after. And join us at our Dynamite after party, Sneaky D's Toronto, upstairs. We are hosting, yet again, Wrestling Karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have some songs, some prizes, some drinks. It's going to be a wild, wild time. So bring your singing chops. Bring your songs. Get ready. I know a lot of people are deciding what they're going to sing. I know I Walk Alone by Batista has been requested a few times already. Thinking about you, Eric Marcotte, who is making the trip down.
Oh, yes.
Friend of the show, Eric Marcotte, is coming down from Sudbury to stay with us to go to Dynamite and Demand Lucha. So
I think I'm going to sing Lance Archer's theme.
Everybody dies,
and I think that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Is there a song? Is there lyrics after that? Or it just goes...
We'll find out, won't we? We'll find out Wednesday night.
Last time someone did American Males, and I was very impressed.
Nice. Oh, we'll get into the American Males a little later on.
Yeah, we just might. So, come to our Dynamite after party if you're in the city for some wrestling. We'll be there till wee hours of the morning at Sneaky D's. So if you're ready to party, come party with the BDE.
PoisonRhino.ca if you want to get your ticket in advance, but you'll be able to just walk up on the door as well. Also, go to PoisonRhino.ca if you're in the Toronto area and want to go to our WrestleMania watch party. We obviously will not be there because we'll be in Philly, but we're setting everything up with Gabby's. Yes. They're helping us out. They'll be looking after. Your girlfriend's going to be running the show. She's been helping us out all the previous watch parties, so you'll be in complete safe hands and get to watch the big, big event, Nights 1 and 2 at Gabby's once again.
Yeah, we are going to Philly, and so many people were like, hey, you guys made it sound like you won't be here, but like, how are these Torontonians going to watch WrestleMania if you guys aren't here? And we kind of were like, yeah, we're busy. We're on our vacation. But then more people kept asking that. We're like, should we just throw this party even though we're not
technically? We owe it to the people, don't we? We can't do Survivor Series and not do WrestleMania.
So you have been putting this together for all the people. Again, we're not even going to be at this because we'll be at WrestleMania, but we're still throwing a Toronto WrestleMania watch party, which anyone out there want to show up? There will be prizes, drink specials, all that fun stuff.
Tickets are moving pretty quickly as well, obviously.
It'll probably sell out. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you want to go, definitely snag a ticket while you can. It'll be a fun time. And I swear that's probably it for plugs. We have another Up Next coming up this Tuesday on the Post Wrestling feed. And then we'll be gearing up because it's gonna only a few weeks until we're actually going to Mania weekend. So a lot going on this month with not just wrestling, but here at Poison Rana. And thanks everyone for supporting.
Yeah. Jake in the chat's asking us, what attractions are you guys looking forward to seeing when you get to Philly? The Liberty Bell is one of my favorites. We've both been to Philly before. Did you do the attractions before?
When I went before, I saw the Liberty Bell. I didn't lick it. I tried, but security. I've seen the Rocky Steps because I went to this music festival where it was like near that steps and everything like that. So I've seen that. I had some cheesesteaks. I don't really remember where they were from, but I had them. I was only there for like a weekend for a music festival like almost 10 years ago, but I went to South Street. I saw the Rocky Steps. I saw the Bell. I can't really think of...
Yeah, I kind of did those sites too. I probably will check them out again because it's been 6 years. But I think I'm mainly looking forward to kind of doing a bit of a cheesesteak tour.
Yeah.
And we are going to be taking some of our equipment with us to do little road diary shows. So I'm pretty sure you're going to get a lot of podcasts about us reviewing cheesesteaks.
Yeah, we'll rate and review.
We need to know, what is the best cheesesteak in Philly?
Yes, taking recommendations.
Are Pants and Gino's overrated?
But the thing is, like, you ask five different people from Philly, they'll all tell you five completely different places to go to.
Which I love.
Which that's, is like, all right, fantastic. Well, how am I supposed to gauge? I got to just eat them all and bring them all back if I can't eat them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be going to that. I don't know about the Liberty Bell itself, but there'll be other stuff. I'm sure there's different bars and different events. There'll be lots of wrestling going on well. So I'll be very, very tired after the fact. But yeah, last time I was in Philly, I got to hang out with Flava Flav. So maybe this time around, who knows who we'll run into. But so yeah, what's going on? We're going to chat about some wrestling today.
Where do you want to start?
I mean,
WWE or AEW?
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day. Are we going to go out after and have some green beer?
I think so.
I was feeling a little hungover today.
Yeah.
I've been good, though. We haven't been like going out as much. We've been trying to save up for this weekend. So, in a way, it's been good for not only my health, but my bank account. Yeah. And last night, I decided to cut loose a little bit. It was Pollock and Ting's birthday. Mm-hmm. You were working. It's probably one of the busiest nights of the weekend, so understandably, probably worth taking that shift. But I went over and hung out with Pollock, Ting, W.H. Park showed up. He brought Mike Murray, who then also they picked up Stephanie Chase, who's in town for Toronto. And then like it was a bit of a whole like party going on, but then classic WH Park just gets a little too lit. Just always getting too
getting
silly.
In trouble.
Yeah, just right. This guy. So we had to pretty much drag him off the floor at the end of the night. Mm. And then nice guy, friend of the show, Mike, was like, hey, I'll give you guys a ride to Gabby's to see Davey. And someone had attempted to break into his car which has caused like the alarm system to go off for hours, which then caused his car to die.
Was that because he was following the police's guidelines of leaving your key, your car key fob by the front door? So if you get burgled, people don't shoot you, they just steal the car. Did you hear that?
What the
That's hell? Legit what the police, Toronto police, put so out stupid. In the last week. They were like, basically, they're not here, they just want your car, so right. just give it to them. And
well, his car, like, I mean, I don't know, it's been since yesterday, but his car was, like, fine. It's just, like, it was since, we, like, we go into the parking garage nearby, and as we're going, we, like, can faintly hear, like, the and then as we get closer to his car, there's, like, not a lot of cars around, just his, that's, like, going off. And he's like, oh, it's my burglar system. And his car was locked and it looked like nothing was taken. But then it had complete – it couldn't turn it off. So it killed his car. So then we're like – I was like, well, your car is fine. You can't do anything about it. How about I get us an Uber to Gabby's? And they're like – yeah, all right. So that's then the party continued at your bar, which was bumping. Was
lovely seeing you all. It was busy. It was busy all night. We had karaoke, obviously St. Patrick's Day, so high turnover, just loads of people coming in for a quick Guinness and Jameson and leaving. Normally I start my close like 2 hours before the end of my shift so I can like get out as quick as possible.
Right.
But when it's as busy as it was, like it's impossible to do that. So yeah, I didn't get out till about 4 AM. But so I'm pretty beaten up, pretty tired. Had a slip myself a couple of Guinness myself, but
nice.
But yeah, fun night. It was good to see you all.
I've spent years going out to John and Wei's birthdays in the past, where I show up at a bar and they're wearing T-shirts with numbers of how many shots they've done, and they're half out the bag, and everyone's like, "Let me buy you a round," and they can barely string sentences together. This time around, I show up to John's house and there's like 8 babies on the ground. And I was like, am I at the right place? What has happened? That's what happens.
This Who are is, the other babies?
This is 40. I don't know. Just some random kids random they found. Babies? It's just like, huh, my friends are old now.
Yeah.
I used to go to the bar and Wei would be like, should we get Chinese food? Should we go out? I'm drunk. And now it's like, hey, would you like this gluten-free
Jameson,
pizza?
I've been drinking it all night.
Yeah, Wei loves his Jameson.
Yeah.
Wei loves his Jameson. But yes, it was a fun time. So happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
We're going to go out afterwards, have some Guinness and stuff. But let's talk about some wrestling. Where do you want to start? Should we talk about some big business?
Yeah, I think some big business. Start with Mercedes Moné being All Elite and cutting a promo at the start of the show and then closing the show, chasing off Julia Hart.
Yes, that's right. There's a lot to kind of unpack. I think it's everyone knew that this was what was happening with AEW and Sasha Banks here, but her coming into AEW, I feel like if it happened a few months back, obviously the injury and everything kind of pushed that, but I feel like it maybe would have made more like waves if it was like right off the bat, whereas now we've kind of seen her hanging out in Wembley, right?
Yeah.
She got injured in New Japan, didn't come into New Japan the strongest, which definitely like first impressions are a big thing. And as much as like I'm a huge fan of Sasha Banks and Mercedes, I mean, and it just felt like they're doing the CM Punk beat a little bit, and I don't feel like it had the weight behind the CM Punk. Like, Punk was gone for like you know, so long. And then comes back and basically opens his heart out and explained everything. Whereas Sasha just comes out here and is like, yeah, I'm here.
I liked everything on Big Business with Sasha.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. It's Tony Khan trying the like CM Punk approach with it.
Yeah.
And it is just unfortunate. She's been away from WWE now for 2 years. Like, it's been a while since she's like wrestled in like a North American promotion. But yeah, it was, she had what, 3 matches, I think, in before the injury.
Right.
And so it did kind of stop the momentum a bit. And I think we've known for a while she was going to be showing up. But I like the presentation. I think she always looks just like an absolute star. Wei back in, you know, NXT days as well. Like the whole boss gimmick, like she works it really well. And I thought the presentation was great. The the theme song. Like, it's people know now in wrestling, you want something chantable, a song you can sing along with. Like, it's worked, you know, people sing along to Cody's entrance or Jericho's music, or, you know, the Yes chant,
Seth Rollins,
that trick,
yeah,
that Seth Rollins singing. It's something that really helps people get over, and it's proven that it works. So I think, you know, having CEO being chant, it's going to get annoying, but you heard it, like, catch on immediately, and we're going to be there chanting it on Wednesday.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, okay, yeah, I feel like I'm such a, I'm not being negative, because I did love Big mm-hmm. Business. I thought it was great, but out the gate, I'm like, wait, that's an added sound effect of people chanting.
Yeah.
So when you watch it on TV, it just sounds like the crowd. But then I noticed the crowd weren't that loud. So I was like, oh, they've added this sound in. So I was like, okay. Kind of cheating, but...
Is it?
Like, I can't think of anyone else's music that has the crowd doing the chant.
Seth Rollins has the singing on it.
But like, does it have the whoa?
Danielson says you're going to get your head kicked in. Like, it's...
Yeah, I
don't know. I think you're coaching your audience to chant that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was clear. Like, by the end of the show, everyone was chanting it. Like,
were they?
Yeah.
Or was it just the sound?
No, it was pretty, like, no, it was pretty loud.
I realized it wasn't the crowd when a lot of people at the end weren't interested in, like, the Julia or whatever the hell was the end of the show, because it was a bit strange. I noticed no one was doing it, and I could hear it, and I was like, what the fuck? That's added in.
It's pro wrestling. The whole thing is manipulation.
Yeah,
the whole thing is manipulating your audience for a reaction. That's what it is.
Like, yeah.
I don't think it's a negative adding sound to it.
I also, like, the music was funny because the music hit and it took at least 5 seconds before the Titantron had her name. And then everyone went, oh, okay, yeah, she is here. Because maybe they were assuming her music from New Japan was, like, what she was going to use, which I guess she went with this other thing. And I guess I'm focused on this, like, entrance and everything, because it was weird that she's using the Gunther theme that we know someone in wrestling has used, and you took it and then made a beat with it, and then maybe it's her rapping on it as well, I think.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so
I did find the using Dvorak a choice, because it's so synonymous, even though he doesn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
It is so synonymous with Walter.
Yeah.
It feels a little odd to use that.
Her New Japan theme samples Jump, which they probably didn't get the clearance for, and then maybe they switched it. I'm not really sure. But then they go and sample this.
But also that Monet thing isn't chantable.
No.
You know, like, this is way better,
I
think.
Maybe it'll grow, but, like, I just thought it was just a little strange. But if she's, like, rapping on her own theme song, I mean, cool, but...
I liked her promo. I don't think Mercedes has ever been, like, the best promo, but I thought she sounded good here, and the reports are, like, she's just short of, what, $5 million a year, I believe. So she is the highest paid woman in wrestling, apparently.
Wow.
Therefore, like, Tony Khan, like, shelling that money on her, you know they're going to put way more focus on the women's division. And she's talking about, you know, trying to make this a like, go global and make the women's wrestling bigger. And I think...
Yeah, but she's also talking about going back to WWE in 3 years, already before her debut, which right away I was like, then go back. Like, that was bad. I know that wasn't on AEW television.
Yeah.
That was an interview that was done somewhere else.
I think it was an interview from a while ago as well that was only just released.
Gotcha.
That's what I've heard. Since the fact,
right.
When she wasn't necessarily pen to paper.
Signed. So apparently she's been signed for a while.
A couple of months,
yeah. I that definitely rubbed people the wrong way, I'd say. But look, I am a big fan of her, and I don't necessarily think she was always the best promo, but she always had, like, real sincere behind her, like a real character of everything that she's done so far. And, you know, she's coming in as a babyface when the real money is probably as a big heel. But I hope it does help turn around the women's roster and the wrestling for AEW, because they've been struggling with the women's.
I don't think it's going to be one of those overnight fixes. It's not going to be like Punk, where it suddenly, like, dramatically bumps the rating. But I think her being in there is going to... They have to put attention on this division. And it is going to help with that. And I think, by the sounds of it, I believe Forbidden Door might have Stardom wrestlers as well this time, because with Rossi Ogawa leaving, that door is kind of a bit more open. And I kind of got the sense with Mercedes, got to get in the habit of that. Saying going global, I assume it's, you know, her being here opens doors to wrestle other promotions and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah. So a lot of people obviously go off of wrestling ratings and the viewership and all this stuff, which, yeah, obviously important for advertisers, but the everyday viewer to me or you doesn't really affect me. Yeah. It doesn't really change my life. Yeah. When I don't use normal cable and BBM boxes or whatever the fuck you want to call them to watch wrestling in the first place. And boy, do I watch a lot of wrestling. So for the tribalist to be like, oh, she didn't pop that rating. It's like, yeah, well, Punk wasn't popping shit when he was still here. So
like, I get it's like ratings are interesting to an extent.
Yeah.
But unless it's this promotion is on the ropes and we're hearing like Turner Networks going, if your ratings don't get better, yeah, this is done. Like, they still seem incredibly invested in this product. You know, rights coming up soon. I'm sure they're especially a lot of WWE moving off of traditional TV. I'm sure that is going to make higher interest. If you've got the CW getting NXT and fucking NWA, you know, there's going to be interest in AEW. Right. So I'm not concerned that this promotion's going to die.
No.
And therefore, when I'm hearing people, oh, well, they should have advertised Mercedes, I don't know. As a fan, I like a bit of a surprise. We knew she was coming anyway, but you see, I saw this video of this little girl who had no idea was a big Sasha Banks fan and doesn't obviously look at the internet because she's a kid, and her mum showing her Mercedes coming out and her losing her mind.
Right. It's
wrestling, like, surprises have always been a big thing in wrestling.
And it's hard these days.
And sure, like, from a business point of view, cool, yeah, you might want a big rating. You might want to tell us that Mercedes is coming. As someone who has watched every single episode of Dynamite and will continue to do so, it doesn't matter if you advertise it to me or not.
Yeah, because you know she was coming in easily. Yeah, it is interesting because you look at other TV shows. You know, there's a lot of other things out there, people, that isn't just wrestling. And a show can do like 1.8 million and the studios could be like, huh, that sucks. It's done.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than viewers of these shows. Mm. Like, constantly while I watch, or we get shows at work that, like, halfway through the season, actually, it's done. You're going to air the rest of it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Or, hey, this show didn't get enough ratings, so we moved networks. Like, a show can drop from, like, having 2-point-something million on its debut to the next week having, you know, 0.3.
Also,
because it sucks or whatever.
Wrestling costs a lot less than
these shows,
TV dramas.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of these TV shows are high, like, super high production now, and it's for 10 episodes.
Right.
Wrestling, you're advertising for pretty cheap compared to other stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I can give you 3 shows a week for life, essentially.
Like, I don't think she's necessarily going to be a big, like, needle mover that way, but in a way, it will help what has been a big issue with them and is, like, their women's division, right? Like, that has been a criticism of people who are, like, hardcore fans, and it's probably a criticism of people who just can't watch it because, like, maybe they don't have a big enough women audience, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd say in the last 10 years, you go to WWE shows, there's so many more families, women as well, at these shows. AEW, it's still mostly dudes and their girlfriends and a few kids, but there's a drastic change of who watches what here. So maybe focusing on, like, how do we attract other people than just the, like, 20 to 40-year-old dudes.
Yeah.
Maybe this is, like, a slow start to do that. She is a notable face. She's been in fucking Star Wars. You know, maybe it can help change things, but right away, people are like, oh, she's not a needle mover. She's just like Edge. No one tuned in to watch, blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, like, that's just how, like, it's a different product than how it was when Punk showed up and everyone watched right away.
It takes time as well. It takes, like, you know, WCW, WWF, 83 weeks, you know, WWF were losing in the ratings. And it's sometimes, some things are overnight fixes, but I think, I've really enjoyed the last couple of weeks. And I think something is the excitement of where we're going. We've got all these new characters. We've got Will Ospreay. We've got Okada. We got the Bucks feel fresh, you know, and now Mercedes as well. Like, I feel that feels exciting, and the quality of what matches we're going to be having with, you know, those three new signings. I think for me, more on a promotional point of view, that kind of did affect me, maybe, is I actually really liked the main event between Rio and Willow.
Okay, yeah.
I thought it was excellent, but it, like, there was nothing really behind it. Like, it felt kind of weird being the main event, because it felt like a bit of a cold match.
Yeah.
And I think having, like, Mercedes at the beginning, like, making clear, I've got vested interest in this main event, I've got unfinished business with Willow, and I will be watching it, making people know, oh, this match is important, and we are seeing Mercedes again. Because it felt like a match we get on at 9:30 to start with, and the quality of the wrestlers brought me back into it, like, halfway through. But to start with, I'm just kind of, like, this crowd a bit, sitting on my hands, mm-hmm. kind of.
Yeah.
And but I thought, like, both Willow and Rio are great. Like, Rio's someone I always forget how good she is, because she just, you look at her and you don't believe she could be anyone.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
she's fantastic.
Is
and
it?
I think they could have just given something behind what this match is for, whether it's, like, number one contender, build up some videos throughout the evening, making this feel like the big match, because you go into it and you assume the world title match is main eventing, and it opens the show. So even though there was no real doubt that Joe was winning this anyway,
yeah.
you're opening the show with it, there's even less doubt.
I think that was a bad move. I love Willow. I love Rio. Mm. And Tony wanted to be like, I want to focus on the women, so I'm putting the women in the main event, which I don't always do, proving, like, look, I do care about that, and cool. But unfortunately, you lost a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
In my, like, as soon as the Wardlow, first of all, Joe came out first, and I was like, Joe's coming out champion first to face Wardlow at 8:25 or 8:30 after Sasha's promo. I was like, now I don't even give a fuck about this match. You just told me everything I need to know about this match. And oh, look, Wardlow lost clean. This Undisputed Empire Kingdom shit is completely dead in the water now, because you've just, the whatever momentum it had is gone, because you just had Wardlow go to sleep. So I was like, okay, that's weird. Not in your main event, not with a fuck finish, where Swerve could have come out afterwards and been like, hey, Joe, you didn't beat me. Me and you at Dynasty, one-on-one, you end the show. Instead, it was Mercedes standing there awkwardly bumbling around with Willow and Rio, who probably people don't know either, who tuned in to see Sasha and left when she left the segment before. So I thought it was, he tried to do the right thing by putting the women in that spot, but ultimately I think it was a bad idea.
I think I feel you should have closed with Mercedes, absolutely. And you can't really have Mercedes come out after Wardlow's lost and dance around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but why, like, looking just on paper, why would you have a women's match with zero stakes main eventing over your world title?
World champion.
That just feels weird.
Dumb.
And just if you...
Silly.
You knew Mercedes is coming in on this date, and you probably think, you know what? We're changing things up. Mercedes is coming in. She's going to be one of our top players in the company. Therefore, we need to main event with the women. So set up Willow v. Rio 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, make it feel like, give a reason for this match to be happening. Maybe it's like, you know, if you want to do the wink nod thing, it's like, you know, the winner of this match is going to see who the real boss of the women's division is. As in, whoever's winning this is going to be Mercedes' first match,
right.
Which I assume Willow is probably going to be.
Yeah.
And you could have built it and promoted it in more of a way that, and then have Mercedes at the beginning saying, I'm going to stick around. So then you're like, oh, well, I got to watch the end of the show to see what Mercedes does.
Right, right. Again, they tried to focus on the women's thing, but...
But half...
Yeah, you did it. Yeah, you half-assed it. Yeah. You were pretty much like, oh, she's in. Anyways, like, again, I don't work at AEW, but I think something that some people there could probably agree on is they don't think ahead like that. Sure.
And they used to.
Yeah,
they
sure.
They used to be really good at it. But.
Sure. Dynasty in, like, over a month, we know what's happening there.
Mm.
They'll tell us Ospreay versus Danielson. It's happening. That's the match. But it doesn't seem like they might not know what's going on week-to-weekly basis is when, We're in Ottawa this Saturday. What should I book? I don't know. What's Shibata and Danielson doing? Fuck it. Let's just do that match. Maybe if you advertised that a month and ago, maybe you would have had more people.
Month's a long time for TV.
Yeah.
But like a week.
Look at the Edge and Christian thing. They've just announced this match 2 weeks ago that they're facing again in Toronto. Look how many more tickets sold right away.
Yeah.
Look how many way more people are talking about it in this city than they were 2 weeks ago when no one was talking about Dynamite coming to Toronto. All of a sudden, well, it's Edge and Christian. You know how many people I'm seeing in chat groups in Toronto, local stuff? The line going is, well, I don't really watch AEW, but I can't miss Edge and Christian, so I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, many people have been saying that this week in the city. So I'm like, why didn't you just go, hey, Toronto, we're coming back, and now I have Christian and Edge both on my roster. They seem to hate each other. So you know what? In 3 months, when we come, that's the match.
No, that's ridiculous. You can't book a TV match.
WWE does it all the time.
When has WWE booked
every time
a Raw match 3 months ahead? Yeah,
a dark match. They'll promote it.
Dark matches.
But they promote it. They promote, hey, guess what? Cody Rhodes is wrestling. No matter what, Cody Rhodes is wrestling.
Yeah.
But hey, Dynamite, Edge might just cut a promo. Ottawa, last night, they ended the show with Edge coming out with a fucking stick. You could have been like, hey, Edge will be here to talk, but like, promote that he's actually wrestling.
They definitely need to,
WWE always.
I do disagree with, like, you need to have somewhat of, you know, you can't book TV that far ahead, my opinion. I think that's ridiculous.
But WWE always.
Wrestling so dull.
But WWE will always be like, hey, Toronto, Seth Rollins will fight Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, dark matches and stuff, for sure.
So at least, like, you know that's happening, and people buy tickets. Yeah. So, like, there is a way you can do better. And prices of tickets has been a huge discussion of fans as well. Right away, they did this, like, hey, we need to shift these tickets. We'll drop the prices. And that's caused way more people to buy the tickets. Yeah. Because you see a ticket that's worth $90 now for $45, you're going to buy it.
Mm.
So, like, why can't you just make the tickets $45 and you may have sold the fucking place out? There's some strange things when I watch this show. I'm like, but why did you do it that way? And this week, as much as I did like big business, it didn't necessarily I didn't think needle moving was a big thing. Being like, worldwide, cool, you're bringing in Stardom, more people won't watch. More people won't watch CMLL versus Stardom versus AEW and stuff like that. I think they're like pissing off and messing some things up that I don't think will help them. I don't think doing these Stardom shows and bringing in Titan from CMLL and advertise that on a Saturday night Dynamite is what will help them. And I don't think it is right now. And it didn't help necessarily with New Japan. And New Japan stars are people I'm familiar with. It did not help AEW. In fact, they just went in and robbed the best people from New Japan.
I feel the CMLL relationship. Again, I go back to, it takes time, right? Like, you need to, if bringing in Stardom wrestlers, like, I think they did a good job with, like, Hechicero. Like, no one knew who that was, and then you're like, wow, that was great. We've seen it in the past, Vikingo and Kenny, in the past. I think if you can have that with women's wrestlers who come in and then steal the show with a match, but it's not an overnight fix. I think the mistake with the recent CMLL stuff is having them lose every single match, because that doesn't help. Like, you know, I keep hearing how big a deal Mystico is in the world of Lucha, but he's not really been booked that way. Whereas you could have had him come in and, you know, beat some big names. So when it comes to Forbidden Door, and if you are opening the doors with CMLL, you have your big Mystico,
Moxley, Danielson, any big
Darby, whatever, you know, like, it's, you have a big match that means more, but it takes time. I think it's something that has always been attractive to me as a fan of AEW, and it's what it's done right since the beginning of it, is showcasing other wrestlers that you don't necessarily see, seeing all these different styles. Remember, like, right, the first pay-per-views they had,
The Joshis,
they had, what was it? Like, Seahawk and all them. Like, what was the Chinese promotion?
Oh, okay. It's always
been something they've done. And it's something that, as a fan, I like to see. I like being exposed to this different world of wrestling. But you do need to give them a W every now and then to make me invested in seeing them again.
Yeah. Chris Leone in the YouTube chat brings up a good point, saying Tony loves all his fantasy booking with other promotions, but has so many people on his own roster that could use the TV time even more. Which, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, you can't even focus on his thing is like new toys.
Yeah.
And then just drops everything else. Sure. Like, you can see that, right, in the last 5 years of like, hey, Brian Keith, you're a nice guy. You know what? I'm going to put you on TV every episode of every show that we have. In fact, I'm going to sign you, and you'll still be on TV, and you're going to lose to everyone. And then by the time people actually care about you, I'm probably not going to use you. Mm. See Commander or whoever. I mean, he was on TV this week, but I think he lost. he keeps booking people to lose, but...
I do think I preferred Dynamite last week, and I think the Toronto show actually looks pretty big in comparison to this big business thing. But I'm like... As a fan, I'm enjoying it right now. I think Ospreay is just coming off as such a
superstar.
Like, his promos have been great. He's been connecting with this audience. You're having this dream match with Bryan Danielson, which I think they're building up pretty nicely. I've enjoyed the promos between both of them. I loved Danielson after beating Shibata this week on Collision, you know, meditating and saying, like, you... you're like fight to the death basically, and he's saying, well, I've done that, I was told I'd never wrestle again, and I just wrestled Shibata, who has said the same thing, so don't you dare say that until you've been in my shoes, kind of thing. I think they're building up that great, and Ospreay just seems like such a big star, and I think with the new like set, the new theme, like the new look of the show, and then you add Ospreay, Okada, Mercedes to it, I am kind of more excited about the product than I have been for
at least the last year.
I think.
Yeah, easily. Look, there was still a lot of pluses on the show, and it's always still a good watch. Like, there was Joe and Wardlow. You knew right away how that was going, and I didn't necessarily think it would just be Wardlow going to sleep, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know what you do with... you can't rehab that character now. You've killed that story, but I don't really care about that storyline.
I feel Wardlow's just had enough chances at this point. I'd go with Big Bill. Give him a go. Like, he's charismatic, got a great story. Again, I encourage everyone to listen to the latest episode of Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, because they go into Big Bill's demons and how he's overcome them. And I think he's someone in ring who's really improved. I think he's more charismatic than Wardlow as well. If you want to push a big guy, I'd think about him.
Then I'm trying to think of other stuff that's going on, because like Okada coming in as a heel right now is great, because it's opening up so many like fresh matches that we didn't think he'd come in this way. They just thought we'd get the classic Okada.
So much better.
Instead, it's him making Alex Marvez sing happy birthday, and like, yeah, I'm just instantly like entertained by this character. So really crazy that they're going towards Eddie Kingston at Toronto, when we were like, that must be the Ring of Honor pay-per-view main event, just because. But
so yeah, it's this, they seem to be splitting up this Triple Crown already, and now it's, because at first it felt like, what, the Continental Championship is the three championships, it is the Triple Crown, they've defended them together, they've defended separately, this is just for the Continental Championship belt,
the crown belt.
Yeah. And then the ROH Championship is going to be defended against Mark Briscoe. Now, I think this feels really, I'm really excited. Like, yeah. I was shocked that they're giving this next week on Toronto, especially when you got Cope and Christian main eventing. Like, that already felt like enough for the show.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. But Okada's got to win that. Like, Okada 100% has to win. And I wouldn't even do, you know, the draw or the screwy finish for a rematch down the line. Like, he's got to just beat Eddie.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels a little, you'd want, for Eddie's sake, maybe a bit more of a build before he loses this thing.
Yeah.
And this whole thing has always been irritating me, because they've never been clear on what it is.
Even
is it,
Eddie hasn't
is it three belts, is it one championship? Because, you know, the All Japan Triple Crown was three championships that got essentially unified in this one title called the Triple Crown. And then maybe this is just the gradual Eddie just starting to lose everything. You give Mark Briscoe his moment, WrestleMania weekend, and
look, that
perhaps we're moving Eddie on to other stuff.
That's super cool that they're giving Briscoe that, but I just like I'm not interested in that. I'm sorry, like I don't care about that.
I don't watch the show.
Yeah, I don't watch the show.
It doesn't matter to me. You could put Slim J as the champion. If I
I don't even know who that is. Is he in the Gates of Agony?
Exactly. It doesn't matter. Yeah, probably. No, is it? What was that fucking stable that just the Trust Busters? Oh. That was it. Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, I could see, you know, give this title to Okada, and I like when he's being. I kind of like that his first match was against a bunch of jobbers because you just see him be prick Okada beating the shit out of people, and which was the most interesting thing about New Japan the last year or so was that character of Okada.
Sure.
I think give him this title, have him steamroll through people. When the title picture's clear, once you've done your Swerve Championship run, I imagine we're going Swerve and then Ospreay at Wembley moving forward.
Yeah, that's the main event, yeah.
Have Okada essentially retire this title. Just have him undefeated with it and then be like, I don't want this piece of shit, I want that.
Right.
Because he's kind of done that before anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And it's a way of eliminating this title that we really don't need.
Loving already so far of what we've seen from Okada, he should just beat Eddie this Wednesday in Toronto. Unfortunately for Eddie, it's kind of strange that that's where they're going right away. But like again, don't want to complain because I'm sure the match will be great. But it's like, man, Eddie, you've just built up Eddie for months.
I wonder if we even get like a full match here or if it's just Okada just steamrolling him.
And then rematch at the pay-per-view.
And then Eddie gives his character something like, it kind of came out of nowhere. And
then they have to fight again at Dynasty.
Maybe.
Right? That could, maybe. Or it's Pac at Dynasty. I don't know. But
Pac.
Kind of strange that right away it's like, Eddie's going to lose this title.
But I like that they've... off the bat, because I think something we were both saying, oh, I'd prefer to see Okada in WWE because there's fresher matches. At least the first two matches they're going to are fresh.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Okada I haven't seen and Pac Okada I haven't seen.
Sure.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So loving that stuff. You mentioned Ospreay, so they're gearing up for Danielson and Ospreay. I loved his promo, Restore the Feeling, bruv. Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. I thought that was good. He's come into his own as like a whole package pro wrestler. Like he's no longer just the aerial assassin. I know that they're recalling him that again now recently, but he's like so much more than that. I definitely think this guy after these 3 years will probably go to WWE and become like the biggest fucking thing in wrestling. Just if he doesn't already here, like he's very entertaining because not only are his matches like match of the year quality every time he wrestles, but he's also genuinely sounding good on the mic.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best going right now, which is crazy. I don't think I would call that about a year or so ago being like, hey, I think Ospreay is one of the best full stop packages.
It's just a fresh voice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That also definitely helps. There was Darby Allin versus Jay White, and Darby getting geared up for his climb to Mount Everest, and oh no, he broke his foot doing a jump off the apron.
It's wrestling so funny, isn't it? Like we just saw Darby jump from a ladder inside a ring onto a sheet of glass on top of metal chairs onto a barely padded floor.
And then got up and went, what's next?
And then got up a few minutes later and finishes a match and then seems to be okay. And then just breaks his foot on a simple thing. We see this so often in wrestling.
Yeah. Adam Cole, right? Like jumping.
Exactly.
Right? It's crazy.
Real shame. I mean, it's at least from a character point of view, they were writing him off anyway. This broken foot saves his life from doing Everest, but you got to feel for the guy because this is something that is obviously a dream of his to do and to be held back another year for that.
It's crazy. So what? He's going to be out for a year with his injury?
No. But he can't. Yeah. You can only climb Everest in like certain months.
Got
I believe.
You.
So he's missed this window to do it.
Yeah. Like I don't know. If ironic is the right word because it's like the guy does this stuff in every match and everyone gives him shit about like.
We've seen him do way crazier things.
But a jumping move off the top or whatever is what injured him. And then the storyline is that they break his foot anyway. So it's like, fuck.
Yeah, I quite like... I like the finish for the match. You know, what was it? Like the his coffin drop on the apron, I think. And then just beating the count, but running right into the Blade Runner. I thought the match was pretty good. It seems exactly the same as the first time we split the Acclaimed up from the Guns, where it felt a little too early because we were having fun with this,
right,
this thing. But at least it puts them all in their right roles. Like, Bullet Club Gold are way better as heels,
yeah,
I think.
Okay, and so they beat up the Acclaimed. They beat them down. I imagine the 3-on-3 is at Dynasty, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so, and unify these belts. Please.
Please, God, less titles in AEW wrestling. Mm. But yeah, that match could be fun. I'm not big on Jay White. I think he's kind of a character that's like, you'd be really good if there wasn't so many other really good wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, oh man, you're pretty good. That match with Darby, pretty good. But unfortunately, like, I'm more interested in like so many other things that you kind of just don't care as much about him. And I know a lot more people like him and a lot people don't like him as well, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's someone where, like, for me, I kind of prefer in this trios. And I know he is world class, and I know he should be going for singles championships and things, but
yeah.
I'm kind of more interested in him with the Guns, to be honest.
Yeah. Some other stuff from, I'm trying to think of Dynamite. The best is Jericho and Hook are a team.
Sorry, did you just say the best is Jericho and Hook?
Hold on. Jericho and Hook are teaming, right?
Yeah.
And commentary, Excalibur.
Yeah.
Mentions on TV, Lion Hook.
Mm.
He calls them Lion Hook, right? Me and you, we laugh, we giggle. Fast forward through the episode, Jericho and Hook are backstage being interviewed by Renee after their match. And Renee goes, I'm here with Lion Hook. And Jericho, without missing a beat, this is a YouTube podcast here, goes, Lion Hook, I like that one, Renee.
Yeah.
And then turns and continues to cut his promo. I was like, you son of a bitch. You made her say that. You are lying. You are a liar, good sir. First of all, you made Excalibur say it. Yeah. And then on screen, you go, hey, I like that, Renee. I'm going to start using that. I see through you, you Jericho universe son of a...
Yeah, and Jericho's been adamant in an interview recently being like...
I love AEW.
No, like he's being like, oh, I'm here to like... give to the young people and help put these people over. But even if that is his intention, it hasn't seemed to be working, has it, really?
It hasn't worked, like, this year. I'd say in the beginning of the AEW thing, he has been here for 5 years. He has. He has completely helped. No one knew who the fuck MJF was. And after years, this guy became a big champion. Was it Jericho's complete fault and reaction? No. But he helped. He helped a lot of people. In the last 2 years, I wouldn't say that. I'd say the last 2 years, he's kind of digressed people.
Honestly, who has he helped?
Like, since AEW, he's helped create, like, bringing people to the fans. You cannot deny that people would be like, oh, what's this wrestling show? Oh, Jericho's on it? Okay, cool. They wouldn't know anyone else on it.
For sure, Jericho to start, but actually putting over younger talent, I don't think any stable he's been in, it's helped anyone. I think Proud and Powerful should have been... tag team champions.
But that seems like it was their own issue. Like, that had nothing, you know, like...
Eventually, when they realized that they were just being lackeys for 3 years, like...
I genuinely do think he has helped people, whether you know, it's definitely not been lately. Like, this doesn't help Hook, but also, what the fuck has Hook been doing anyways? But I don't see that he's been helping people lately. But I think that being in AEW for the first, like, infant years of it, did help no matter what, because like he was one of the highest paid guys at the time. Mm. He was one of the reasons people did buy tickets.
I think that's an issue because he's one of the highest paid guys.
Yeah.
Tony Khan feels he needs to have him on the show, and really, like, he'd be better off disappearing for 6 months.
He does. You he's know? Definitely, like, he he's, definitely needs to go away for a bit.
So stale.
Yeah.
I can't think of any, like, you mentioned MJF that dragged on forever, and we were grateful when MJF got out of that feud. I think MJF is talented enough not
again,
to Jericho to put him over.
I think he's
what
helped.
Happened to Action Andretti? That did nothing, you know?
Guy drinks water.
Ricky Starks, we got fed up with that feud. The Adam Cole, he dragged down Adam Cole. That feud was horrible. And now it's happening with Hook. Like, it's his intention might be, but it hasn't worked. Yeah. Like, it hasn't been working. And the problem is, you, which we saw in WWE, you start losing to these guys isn't putting them over, because you just, your stock lowers.
Right.
But then it's just something about the nature of his feuds just always feels so stale. And I don't think you get, like, when we've seen a Danielson against someone who really just showcases everything they're great at and does get the best out of them. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's been years at this point, I think, where people are like, oh, they're sucked into the Jericho vortex. Yeah,
he needs to go away.
And I think just a break for a while would help.
Absolutely.
And maybe the reason why he kept taking breaks in WWE was because Vince would have his eyes on other things and be like, I don't really care to do anything with Jericho.
I could not care about a lion hook or whatever the hell he wants to try to sell more t-shirts and stuff. That's the other thing. Every fucking week he's got a new shirt thing, yeah, an idea that he's just throwing shit at the wall. It's like, man, like, you have fans out there, but you're making the fans of you still out there be like, I don't really want to, like, again, being one of his all-time fans, I'm like, man, you should really, like, go away. I'm not saying hang it up. I'm not saying retire. I'm not saying that. Just go away for a year and then come back. Maybe you'll be more interesting.
Come back for his retirement tour.
Probably in WWE. Know?
And it would be and it would be good. But
he'll,
yeah,
probably retire in WWE. But he says he's staying in AEW for life, which, right, is like, oh, God.
Except that about WWE as well.
I don't think anyone wants to see Jera Hook, Lion Hook. They're facing each other in Toronto this week. Again, cool. We're talking about Taz versus Jericho on a retro ECW pay-per-view this week. And we'll be chatting about Jericho taking on his kid this week live. So, like, yeah, cool. But Jericho definitely has dragged down some of the stuff on TV. And it's becoming a little like, all right, take a break, man. Go away for a little bit and come back. Think it out. Go tour with Fozzy. You know, do that kind of stuff. I'm sure it'll help. But it sounds like they're not going to do that because he's probably going to win this tag tournament with Hook and win the tag titles with Hook.
Oh, God.
So, Claudio and Moxley, who had an awesome tag team match, just a straight-up wrestling tag team match in Greensboro, coming out with the LOD and everything, they don't get put in this tag tournament. When they've beaten your former, maybe best tag team in your company, of FTR. But Jera Hook, Lion Hook, is
bizarre. I wonder why they're not. They must have other plans for them, but
very strange.
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah. Anything else from AEW this week?
I thought Danielson Shibata was excellent. We had that on in the bar last night. So I kind of half watched it last night and then watched it properly this morning.
Kind of bizarre. So
really good.
If you're in Canada, you can't watch Collision. It does not exist. It is a fake show. I don't care what John Cena says. I can't watch it. I have to watch it illegally when I watch Collision. So most 9 times out of 10, I don't usually watch it. When they announce Shibata versus Danielson in Ottawa a few days before it happens, I might tend to check it out the day after. However, Tony Khan loves playing this game of, hello, Canada. We are here in insert town name in Canada. Now, I know you can't usually watch this show on TV, so tonight only, we're going to air it. He's done this a few times here in Canada. I don't know why they do this, but he does. So last night, we're at your bar, and the sports ends, and all of a sudden, at like, what, 1 a.m.? Past 1 a.m. maybe, all of a sudden, Collision starts. And we're all like looking at each other, like, Davey, did you put this on? And then you start, like, you're busy. It's Saturday night at the bar. It's packed. And you're like, what the fuck? No, I didn't. And we're like, oh, he's joking. Like, he's joking. He put it on. And you're like, no, I seriously did not put this on. And then I realized it was Collision, which, again, does not even air here. So I was like, that's so weird that they did this again. So sitting at the bar, we all sat and watched Shibata versus Danielson on a St. Patrick's night, which was so bizarre. But it was great. What an awesome match. Shibata really and Danielson delivered. It was great. Kind of what you said earlier, like, both these guys were not wrestling because they fucking themselves
had his
up.
Brain removed, right?
Yeah, he got his brain removed and then the dragon's brain put in. No. So this was great. I skimmed through the rest of the show. I noticed that Edge cut his promo at the end with his spike, but You know who else was...
Foley told him to get.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen Okada's social media? Okada was also watching Collision last night and posted a photo of Shibata. So maybe...
Nice.
We're getting Okada Shibata one more time.
Nice.
Because we did get the Bitchmaker in the match. He hit the Bitchmaker on... Which is the Rainmaker into the slap in the face. He did it on Danielson, which was great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Got to see Kyle O'Reilly back. His first match in almost 2 years. We've always been big Kyle O'Reilly fans here.
Yeah.
And was, you know, against, who'd have thought it? Brian Keith, all over the show once again.
Yes.
But yeah, good to see Kyle O'Reilly back. I have the same kind of, I don't know if trepidation is the right word, that I've always had with Kyle O'Reilly, which is, you know, promo and character does kind of let him down a bit. He's fun in a Undisputed Era like setting where he's doing the goofier sides and like pulling faces at the back and that kind of thing, but when it comes to being a promo, especially as a babyface, that's a nice bloke, you know, that's the kind of feeling you get, and it's not the most exciting. Even him talking about how he thought he'd maybe never do this again, I'm still like, ah. Like, I like you, but it's a little bland.
Yeah.
So I wonder where we go from here. I assume we're getting to Undisputed Kingdom, like, turning on him for, like...
Well, he probably doesn't want it. Like, they raise him up after,
so, right? So he said, like, and Roddy and Undisputed Kingdom supported him. He was like, hey, love you guys. I'm your pals, but... I need to try and do my own thing. And Roddy's like, yeah, man, you go for it. And they're all supportive now, but we know it's wrestling.
Yeah.
So I imagine we'll be getting Roddy versus Kyle down the round.
Cool, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds great. And hopefully the only issue there is I assume you'd have Adam Cole doing the talking, because I don't think, like, story-wise, like, the weeks leading into that match, you know the match would fucking kill.
Yeah.
But it's Roddy and Kyle.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love
promo masters.
Yeah, it's you're going to really have to see something new that we've never seen from both these guys to really get it juicy. But you know the match will be awesome.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly is just a good old Canadian boy, and like we love him over here, and a lot of fans love him over here. But an issue he has had is trying to find himself on screen. I mean, he wasn't one to jump to AEW right away. He stayed in WWE. He was there for a while and then finally did leave. But before he did, they gave him a chance. They, you know, put him on TV as like their main guy in NXT, and it didn't work, where he was walking around with the Misfits denim vests and everything. Like, if that's him in real life and they tried to turn it up to a 10, it just wasn't what a character, like, it didn't work that way. So, you know, Roderick Strong coming into AEW and been giving this silly character. He's been saying in interviews for the past few months, like, this is the most popular I've ever been. This is the most merch I've sold ever. This is, like, everything is working for me because I have a character now.
Mm.
Whereas if Kyle comes in, maybe he gets a different character. Like, maybe more of a killer Kyle, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe more of less talking and more tapping people out and kicking people in the head and stuff like that. But so far, he showed up looking kind of homeless.
Yeah.
With a dirty shirt last week, which was dirty on purpose, but like, come on.
We had it on in the bar, and Stephanie Chase was there, and she said that he looks like he's just come out of prison.
Yeah, released from jail, leaves the prison, and goes straight to the ring.
Yeah.
Is what happened. Like,
I saw a funny video the other day.
Of someone leaving prison?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No.
So this guy is, it's like, his release day, and he's like all excited to be leaving prison. I don't know what he did.
Yeah.
But his family had talked to the police to wait outside the door as he leaves to pretend to arrest him.
Oh,
to send him back.
God.
And you see this guy come out beaming, like, I'm free, smiling, and then sees the police and his face just, fuck. And he's like got his bag, and it's like he looks like he's ready to just okay, turn around, and then the police are like, ah, and he's like, oh.
Damn.
Pretty funny.
But he's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I want to see the best of Kyle O'Reilly, but I just don't know what you do with him to make that. I'm so happy that he's back wrestling, but we should feel a lot more excited about it. And so far it's like, well, you don't look very excited to be here, Kyle. So why should I feel excited? Yeah. Like, you didn't comb your hair. So why should I dress up to go be excited to watch you wrestle? So far, not too into it. But again, like you said, when it comes down to it, Roddy and Kyle should be an awesome match.
Yeah. Other thing, I guess, from Collision was the Infantry with a...
Who?
With a surprise win over House of Black and advancing in the tag tournament.
Oh, House of Black are still in AEW, right?
Yeah,
right,
so they're still feuding with Mark Briscoe, who's going for Eddie's Ring of Honor title. But yeah, Mark Briscoe kind of costing them the match here and Infantry moving forward. So there is a chance...
Infantry are your next tag champions.
Maybe.
Sorry, Infantry?
The Infantry. It's Sean Dean and someone. And his mate. I don't know. There are a couple of wild card slots as well. So, I mean, there's maybe a chance.
Yeah, maybe the Gates of Agony are in
maybe
it.
Maybe there's a chance BCC are in it. But I don't know. I'd have thought you'd have announced them.
I thought I'd know some of these guys' names by now, but I also don't.
You don't watch the show.
Yeah, I don't watch Collision. I definitely cherry pick. But the Infantry. All right, I'll have to look out for them. I know Sean Dean.
Yeah.
He was the Soldier.
Yeah, I think they've been, you know, doing stuff with them on ROH and stuff. I don't know.
I will say, I cherry-picked through Collision because I watched that Shibata match and then I watched the rest today, but I was skimming through. The highlight of Collision was the Collision Course sign that we got to see. Kate and John Cena, someone had it there. I don't know who this was, but that's awesome to see. Someone holding up a Collision Course sign for those two. Love to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you, whoever that was. Yeah, very nice. Anything else AEW? Because we're going to Dynamite this Wednesday. They have a live Rampage, so they're pretty much forcing people to watch Rampage now.
Yeah.
I guarantee that they'll be like, hey, Ospreay's wrestling on Rampage in the main event, so you all have to stay, is probably what I would do if I was TK, so I'm assuming that's what happens.
Is Ospreay definitely going to be there?
He's
on the poster.
Yeah, he's on the poster, so...
They've not advertised him on TV yet. Like, when they've said what's happening. They've said Mercedes will be there.
Yeah, when they finally book the show on Wednesday at, like, 7 p.m., then they'll announce what's on. No, they usually tell us it's on Dynamite. Like, they have announced stuff, but
that's
Rampage...
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They would normally say on Collision or Dynamite, we'll hear from Will Ospreay or Ospreay in action, which I don't think they have done.
Yeah. But I bet you they make him the Rampage just to make people stay again. Like, it'd be a smart thing. So it's live after Dynamite.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's... it for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be there. This Wednesday's card looks great. Edge Christian one more time in the dot. We got the Okada Eddie thing. So yeah, there's some stuff cooking for Dynamite.
And obviously, if you're going, let us know.
Please let us know. We'll be there. We'll be at Sneaky D's after with the wrestling karaoke with all the rabid fans singing. So definitely excited about that.
Yeah. Well, I guess some... WWE news as well.
Let's talk about some dubs.
We had The Rock in Memphis.
Rocking in Memphis.
Yeah. We had a bit... They didn't call it The Rock Concert, did they?
No.
We had The Rock Concert, essentially.
Yeah. Weird, because like for the whole week, everyone's like, he's going to be doing The Rock Concert. Yeah. He's got to be doing it. And then he did The Rock Concert, but then he didn't call it The Rock Concert.
And he had some pals play the...
So it was a little weird. But also, it was still pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I just thought like you could have promoted that. You could have sold t-shirts with that and...
They sold out. They're okay. Their numbers are good.
But, like, yeah, I thought it was strange because, like, people have been waiting for a rock concert for a long time, and he did it, so.
I liked seeing him play babyface, kind of, because it, for me, it makes his character more compelling because it just feels more like this is just who Dwayne is. And Dwayne is still your guy who's going to do catchphrases and get the chance and sing songs. I just fucking hate Cody Rhodes. Yeah. It's kind of what it is, and that makes him a bit of a dick. So I think he's been great. Like, he's not phoning it in, I don't think. He seems, like, really invested in this mania and this feud. And the fact that, I mean, they're building to a Cody v. Rock match. Great, aren't they? Like, whether that's SummerSlam or Saudi or whatever, but... I thought it was pretty fun. Just, you know, a bit of a throwback segment. These were what he used to do back in the day.
Yeah. No, I really, really loved it. He's been great. I watched Jimmy Kimmel the other week and he was on Jimmy Kimmel right after the Oscars, which he looked great at the Oscars too, standing next to Bad Bunny. But he came on and Kimmel was like, yo, man, I've been watching these clips of you on SmackDown calling people crackhead Karens and all. Like, what's going on? Like, you're a heel again. And The Rock's like, yeah, I'm loving it. I'm having so much fun. And I watch that. And then, like, I'm on, you know, online or Twitter or whatever the hell this week. And I see, like, publications, whether it's other wrestling sites or stuff, being like, oh, the Rock is just, you know, being an asshole. And, like, it's just not working and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, pretty sure it's working.
Oh, it's 100% working.
Pretty sure it's working. You said sold out shows every week they go. I'm like,
although as much as kayfabe is dead, I would maybe appreciate a bit more him being on Kimmel and not saying, oh, I'm playing this heel now. Yeah,
he did say I'm playing
this heel. I'd rather him be on and can kind of be like, you know, I've joined the board of directors and I was ready to have this big match with my cousin and this dickhead Cody Rhodes has thrown it, and it's, and you can kind of still do it like shoot as well, where you go, and it's brought out this side in me that I haven't shown people for a very long time.
Right.
And, but man, that Dusty's kid has really pissed me off. And
I guess,
you know, you can say, and therefore I am now a bad guy without being like, yeah, Jimmy, it's so fun. I'm playing this bad guy. Like he's talking about a movie he's
well,
in.
He was basically like, yeah, it's, you know, it's really refreshing playing this character. We're having a lot of fun with it. Buy my skincare routine. See you at WrestleMania. It was pretty much like what it was. And I was like, okay, but he's got that swag, that Riz. And for the most part, over the last 20 years, I don't really care about The Rock. I don't really like his movies, to be completely honest. However, absolutely like loving what he's doing right now, and like bringing so many more eyes, and all like accounts that have nothing to do with wrestling and memes and everything covering this guy every week, whether it's his Instagram promos or the shit he's been getting away with saying on TV, including this week mentioning this basketball player, Ja Morant, with the gun waving around. And he's like, oh, sorry, Ja, I had to reference this. And like the crowd were like, yo, what? You just referenced this guy? Like, I swear they had to censor him a lot because he just doesn't give a fuck.
But like,
he's The Rock.
But if you're Fox, you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it could be 3 p.m. and he's dropping an F-bomb. Like, as a network, all right.
You're The Rock.
You're The Rock, sorry. Like, you're going to bring in more eyes than whatever. Yeah, you're not going to have... you're not going to have...
Ricochet.
Otis come out and say these things. You'd get in trouble because it's... Love him, but it's Otis.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock, you can get away with it.
Yeah. Loved the whole Rock concert. Loved his entrance. He listened to the people because the Hollywood theme is mixed in there.
Yeah.
It's like he's remixed a few things into one song. So that is epic, because the entrance every week is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. What the fuck is the Mania entrance going to be? Like, this guy thinks he is Black Adam when it comes out.
I'm really, like, part of Mania for me, and I think, to be honest, a lot of WWE fans are happy with, you know, promo, entrance, finishing move.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, you just want to see
that's
that
wrestling.
Live.
And that is part of the spectacle of wrestling, of WWE. But, yeah, I'm excited for that big, big entrance.
And then, in this Rock concert, he calls out Cody Rhodes' mom.
Yeah.
Mama Rhodes. And basically, like, you won't be getting that title. As Cody was crying, him mocking Cody, crying, oh, I'm going to give my mom the title. I was howling, laughing at that. But then I mentioned I don't really like The Rock's movies. Mm. I kind of lied, because there is one movie I do think is a great movie and The Rock's best movie. And I can't wait for the live action remake starring The Rock. But even tying in, hey, Mama Rhodes, you're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, that was so good. So
I started dying laughing. So
good.
Again, I don't know what it is, but I am just loving this whole heel Rock back
in
wrestling.
It's got to be, you know, Rock giving this belt, like, to the mum, and then the mum giving it to Cody to whack him with, or the mum even whacking the Rock with this belt at some point. They've queued up that interaction.
It's crazy. Yeah, there's so many different things they could pull from in this, but yeah, really, really love the Rock concert, him singing with these guys. It was so funny. He babyfaced himself because he's like, actually started here. He mentions his Flex Moran. What was his name? Flex something. It's silly. He brought that up. Like, man, the guy's just been absolutely killing it. I've been loving the slapping of the arm,
the chills,
the memes, and everything. The mana. Love it, man. I I'm just like so invested in everything. This guy has just been scorching Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Like, I don't know what they're going to do on Monday because they're.
I think they've been holding their own. I think they've been pretty good with their comebacks.
Yeah. I Cody, it's funny because Cody did cry on Monday and Rock's making fun of him crying.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So I'm invested in whatever this is. And I don't think I normally care about a part timer coming into tag team wrestling main event of WrestleMania. It's not something that most people would be like. Okay with, but I think they've turned around a lot of people in for this.
Reports are saying that he is expected, like health permitting, to be wrestling again this year. He'll be going off to do the Smashing Machine Mark Kerr film after WrestleMania, and which is expected to wrap in August. So probably, I think SummerSlam's early this year. I think it's beginning of August.
Okay.
So. Possibly rules him out for that, but opportunity for a big...
What's he filming? Another Jumanji or Moana?
No, it's the MMA film. It's A24 covering Kerr, the MMA fighter.
Right.
So he's going to be out until about August, so does probably rule him out for SummerSlam, but there's normally... Isn't there normally a Saudi show in like October or something?
Hmm.
Or you've got Survivor Series in November, that's where he made his debut. They could make that a big deal.
Yeah, bring the egg back.
But I see it more likely us probably having Cody v. Rock at some point this year.
Wow. I mean, we're getting in the tag match.
Yeah.
So, like, that definitely wets your whistle a bit if they ever don't go back to it. Mm. But you'd imagine there's... The promos between them have been good, and they're not even really the feud.
Yeah.
So it's like, what... It each week it does kind of make me go like, wait, Roman, you are the story here too. So I do need Cody to be like, yo, Rock, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to fight this guy for the title. It's kind of like something that needs to be said to be like, I also need to focus.
I feel it's deliberate. Like, yeah. I feel it's, you know, even just looking at The Rock and Roman, The Rock is in these incredible, like, Versace vests or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Roman's there in his hoodie and sneakers and stuff. Like, I feel like it's deliberate. If not, like, it is bad for Roman. But I feel it's just fuel for when he eventually turns on Rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, very excited about that.
Got to shout out Austin Theory for doing one of the worst sells I've ever fucking seen in wrestling. The stunner into the RKO should never, ever be done again. That was awful. That looks so fake. I love wrestling, and I don't care when people say, you know, it's fake, right? Mm. But like... This guy just went, jumped into the sky to get cuttered from Randy. I'm like, what?
So now confirmed we're getting the triple threat. We were kind of questioning last week, are they doing a tag maybe with KSI? But no, it's the triple threat, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
Imagine KSI gets involved in the match.
Yeah, with it being a triple threat, I could see Logan retaining this, to be honest.
Me too.
But this kind of feels like, we need to get all three of these guys on the card. We don't really have much else to do. But good star power.
With the Prime logo.
And I'm sure like Logan Paul does tend to over-deliver, and Randy's Randy, Owens is Owens. So we'll see. I don't think it's one of the matches I'm most excited for on this thing, but I'm sure it'll be good.
No. And then Rey Mysterio came back.
Yeah.
That looks like it's going to be the singles match, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hasn't it been announced for before Mania? I think.
Oh.
Okay. I might be wrong.
So maybe it is not a... Because the Legado are in the ladder match, right?
Legado are, LWO aren't, I think. Yeah, what's going on with this tag tournament?
Yeah, that tag thing is so strange.
There's so many tag tournaments going.
Yeah, it still says 5 teams to be determined for the Undisputed Tag Championship.
Yeah, it's just... all right, so we've got... Nope, that's got Nikki Cross on it. That's not it. Yeah, I can't remember what the brackets are. I'm trying to see.
Yeah.
Dunn and Bate. Nope. Ah, someone let us know what's going. Who are the six going to be?
Like, there's some other teams in there. I hope DIY somewhat get on there, but they're not necessarily a hot act right now. But either way, like, there's so many of these matches going on. But I would like to see Rey Mysterio and his boys versus Santo and his boys all get their Mania moment. So whether it's a singles match with them ringside or, like, multi-man match would also be pretty good. But yeah, I mean, Mania is looking stacked now. Uso versus Uso. We need Rikishi in there. as a special guest ref, do the dance after. I won't be happy until that happens. We got AJ Styles and LA Knight. I liked LA Knight's promo, basically being like, hey, AJ, you flew halfway across the world to attack me, and now you're not being seen. And then he came out and attacked him. So I thought that was good. Which is weird, AJ Styles being a heel. I'm like, all right, whatever.
He's been good at it before. It's just...
He's also been very bad at it before. You weren't there, Davey, for TNA days.
Yeah, we're talking 15 years ago.
But
people improve at sometimes,
like,
you know?
He's flip-flopped in TNA a lot, like being a heel, and some of it was so bad, but some people thought it was so bad that it was good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I ain't judging in 2024 something someone did in 2007.
Like, I don't necessarily think his style of wrestling matches his heel character either.
I mean, I think he's someone that I don't think we've seen the high level AJ Styles match for a long time.
I don't think we're
really getting it with LA Knight.
Yeah, I think he's been happy coasting in WWE for quite a while now. I don't think he's moved any needle in a little while. Like matches wise, his Mania matches aren't usually really good.
No, I mean,
his best match is with Shane at WrestleMania.
Yeah, like it's been a long time since, like, you know, I thought his matches early on with like Cena and Roman were good, and the Shane match is actually really good. But yeah, I can't say it's two stars who should be on the show, but I'm not really into it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, LA Knight is super popular right now, and he needs something to do and someone to beat, so that can be your thing. But they're setting up like it's going to be some sort of giant grudge match, maybe weapons or something, and it's like, man, he just attacked you. He's just got good hair. I don't know why is he so mad. Anything else from WWE and Mania teasing and everything? I think that's about it.
I think that's everything going on right now.
NXT on Tuesday. Whoop that Trick chance during the Rocks promo. I don't think intentionally.
It's a Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah,
thing,
yeah, right? Yeah. So I don't
is
think
it Grizzlies.
Yeah,
I think
so. Used to be the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah, that's right.
Never forget. So NXT on Tuesday will be back on Post Wrestling, chatting all about that and the road to Stand and Deliver and everything going on Monday with Raw. Hopefully Cody, Seth get some rebuttals in there. Mm-hmm. I know Seth because The Rock scorched him, basically being like, your wife's the bigger star than you, and like you need to step it up. And I imagine Seth Rollins listens and says some things on Monday after that.
I thought Seth was great last week. So yeah, I'm actually not worried about Cody and Seth's rebuttals. It's more, when are we going to see? We need one big promo from Roman at some point going into this to really solidify this tag match is a big deal, but it's night two.
Sure.
This is the big thing.
Yeah, you're
especially
right.
As his story is coming to an end, most likely.
Yeah, in the third inning, right?
Yeah.
Or the eighth inning, or whatever the hell they're calling it. I like that reference from Cody as well in his promo as well, before he started crying about it.
Although I wish he said it's now bottom of the ninth, rather than it's the final. It sounded weird, like, it's, you said a year ago it's the top of the third, well now it's the last inning.
Cody, do you watch baseball?
It sounds like he doesn't know baseball.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry. I understand that.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm trying to think of anything else. I know Paul Walterhausen put Zack Ryder through a flaming table last night at some show.
Yeah, he's having a no-holds-barred match with Matt Cardona.
That may have happened last night.
Has it happened
then.
Now?
He's wrestled it before, right? But now he's wrestling again?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's pretty wild. I wonder if he's announced for WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, I would think so.
Emmy Award winner.
Scheduling allowed.
Yeah.
Adam in the chat, I've not seen it, but is asking Ricky Stanicky your thoughts.
I watched it. Oh boy, did I ever. I mentioned on,
I think you said on
Up Next, I said it was a funny movie, but was it a good movie? I don't know if I'd say that. There was some laughs in it.
Good.
There was some laughs in it, but I don't know if I'll watch it again. Okay. But it was pretty funny and
good
stupid. Cena's funny. I gotta say, Cena, out of all the wrestlers turned actors, like, he's got comedy chops. He's more funnier than I always assumed he would become like a giant action star because of some of the movies he's made before.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were that good, and he's funnier.
He's best at being like dumb jock,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
he's very good at that.
Yeah, and he just loves taking his clothes off.
Paul Walterhausen is facing Sami Callihan in Philly. at the ECW Arena.
Okay.
At WrestleMania weekend.
Nice. So, sorry, Sammy Callahan?
Sammy Callahan.
The hacker.
Yeah.
Versus an Emmy Award winner.
Yeah.
What show is this at?
What show is this at, Frank?
It's not better not be the House of Glory Revolver show, which I think
is... No, it's at the ECW Arena.
Oh.
But not the Extreme Tribute show.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go.
What else? Is that everything? Dark Side of the Ring. Did you see Dark
Side? Oh, the stuff.
Yeah.
Buff the stuff. I did watch it. I watched it Tuesday night after we recorded. I was like, all right, well, I guess Tuesday nights is when it releases. I always forget, and then the end of the week comes, and I'm like, oh, I didn't watch this show. Yeah. So I did watch it this week. Very interesting. Buff Bagwell trying to get back in the good books of all the fans out there who realized a long time ago he was kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Love how he's trying to rewrite history with these shows. I find a lot of people go on these shows and be like, here's my side of the story. Aren't I such a good person? And I've had a hard time and like, buy my merch. And I felt a little bit this way. I'm like, oh, I've heard some interviews from people who say not so nice things about you, but that was a long time ago. You've changed.
Yeah. I mean, I think, people do change.
People change. Yeah. People can change.
People can change, you know.
Let the man hold the baby.
Like, yeah, we're talking about people that knew Buff Bagwell
20 years ago.
24 years ago.
Long time ago.
Like, it's, I think the fact that, like, what, three ex-wives are on this show who are like, he's a really nice guy, just became a bit of a prick. Like, wrestling, drugs, all that consumed him. He's now sober. I'm loving this season of Nice Guy of the Ring. You know, we've just had John Tenter and Marcus Bagwell, and it's like, yeah, seem like nice dudes.
The light side of the ring.
Seem like nice dudes. Yeah, would have maybe wanted them to go a bit more into the Raw match and the firing and all that.
Right.
Him saying that it's this slap, the Bagwell slap that he delivered to
Hurricane.
Shane Helms, Hurricane, backstage, for being like, oh, Bagwell showed up on time today. But yeah, and then there is a part of that where he's like, so what if we stunk up the joint that night? Like, yeah. It was one match, like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it just being like the crowd kind of...
The crowd just didn't care.
Rejecting it right off the bat, kind of like that Goldberg-Brock like thing where people like wouldn't give it could be the greatest match ever and they just weren't gonna give it a chance at all. His dad's a bit of a nutcase as well.
Yeah, so
this old dude just on TV in this documentary being like, yeah, so I was like beating up his mom and then he pulls a gun out on me and
but I deserved it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. So yeah, his family kinda had money beforehand, right? Is that what they were saying?
What was it?
Race car driving?
Something to do with cars, yeah.
Yeah. So then he became a wrestler, and because he was always good looking and jacked, that he decided to get...
Missy Hyatt, like, discovering
him, basically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he then... yeah, it's all her fault that we had to watch years of this guy in his fucking top hat. But...
I didn't mind Buff. Like,
I never minded him either, but he's definitely fun to make fun of.
Yeah.
He's, like, a step above Disco.
Oh, I put him a few steps above Disco, but I don't know. I was never a WCW guy, but he was someone whenever I'd like flick on, I'd be like, who is this guy? Because he was always smiling and like staring directly into the camera.
The eyebrows like painted on, like, I don't know. He was kind of scary looking, to be honest. He's good for him, but yeah, this episode wasn't my favorite one, but still entertaining to hear, you know, stories about things in wrestling that may or may not have been told.
Yeah, I like how...
the slap has been talked about.
I said this about the John Tenta one as well. Like, okay, these might not be the juiciest Dark Side of the Ring so far, but I like hearing about these people that we wouldn't necessarily really hear about. Like, we're not seeing these A&E documentaries cover Earthquake and Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're doing the hits, they're doing Shawn Michaels, they're doing The Undertaker, Austin, like Foley. It's all the people you expect. But these guys otherwise don't really get a whole lot of attention, and it is interesting. And it is a dark side. Okay, this isn't a double murder suicide we're talking about. But it's still showcasing like what wrestling does to people. The fact that this guy seemed like a very I mean, it's the Kurt Angle story as well. Like, a pretty wholesome, nice dude, and then just wrestling and the pain and the schedule and the boys and all that just getting on top of you, and the temptations that it kind of ruins your life, and then you really got to pull yourself out of this hole. And God bless DDP, who's like another. You don't really hear about Bagwell with DDP as much as you do like Jake the Snake or rest in peace Scott Hall, but another kind of like victory from DDP.
I really don't get me wrong, I really loved this episode too. Again, it wasn't as, you know, like you said, juicy as some of the others, but I love wrestling and I love to hear about John Tenta. I loved hearing about weird shit. Like, actually, this guy just would beat the shit out of people and sit on people's faces and then go home and be a nice guy with his wife and kids. I'm like, what? I had no idea.
And I will say, over the last couple of weeks with like the passing of Virgil and seeing like, you know, John Tenta's story where he left wrestling and then was just being a truck driver or working at a large clothing store and that kind of thing. I've never really been the Comic-Con guy. I've always been like, sorry, why would I pay someone $20 for them to sign something or take a photo? But when you see these stories, you kind of go, oh, it's because these guys are going through hard time. I'm not going to pay $200 to meet Steve Austin, like a lot of people do, but I'm not interested in that. I think that guy's got enough money. But these people who've, you know, put their bodies on the line and their lives on the line to entertain us, and then a Comic-Con at WrestleMania weekend is a way to help them today when they're possibly struggling. Yeah, like, I think your Virgils need that $20 more than, and a hello and thank you for your career and all that, more so than The Undertaker does.
Right.
Or whatever. So I've kind of like turned around with that kind of thing recently, just hearing these guys' stories. You know?
Actors do that. Like, look how, like, be actors, bit parts in movies for the rest of their life will make money off of like that and sign autographs and take pictures. Like, it's how it works. And you can't blame anyone for doing that. If you've made some fame off something that's entertain some people, then absolutely. But I got that Buff the Stuff has become more of a nice guy in this thing, and I think the Hurricane has put out some things being like, oh yeah, sure, you sound like a nice guy now, but like, you weren't that nice a few years ago. And that's also to be said, like, right, like, you could, like you said, like, hey, along 25 plus years ago, maybe he was a piece of shit, but now, like, he's changed. I'm sure there's some people that maybe he's said or done things to that no matter what this guy says will be like, yeah, but he, you know, did that to me or did that. And I'm sure, you know, that goes a long way too. But I thought it was interesting. I thought, though, they were pussyfooting around some other things, the gigolo stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to do that. They told me this thing and I ended up doing this thing. I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Not saying I don't believe you, but also like, oh, you didn't know? When the cash for got put in your account that you were going to do that? Don't know about that. Because there was those rumors for so long that he was just straight up a gigolo. Mm. When that show came out, people were like, hey, look, this guy's actually like Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo. And he didn't seem to mind when that was at the time. But all these years later, he seems a little embarrassed by it. But it's like,
sure, yeah.
It's like, you know, you're getting paid to bang old ladies.
Yeah.
Nothing embarrassing about that.
Well, so he's struggling. Like, drugs and debts and, you know, healthcare ain't free in the States.
Especially,
either, you know,
like, it's
people got to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're necessarily proud of it.
So as much as this isn't like the dark side of the ring, I hope they keep making more of these ones on like other characters that you wouldn't even have a think inclination to be like, would they have an episode, a good, interesting story to hear about? Now I truly would watch this show like based on so many other things. And it's interesting because there's so many other dark sides of other stuff now, like this dark side of children's TV thing that came out this week.
Dark side of the 90s.
Yeah. And it's interesting because whether you're a fan of like a certain wrestler or a comedian or whatever, you can kind of hear like the stories around it from people who were actually involved, who won't always be around to tell the quote unquote true story. So I really do love Dark Side of the Ring. And it's so much fun to tell non-wrestling fans about it who then get into it and love it so much. Wrestling itself doesn't bring in as many people who watch the show. And I look up the ratings for these shows and stuff like that. It doesn't do that well on TV, but the streaming is
I feel so many people keep finding these. A friend of mine told me yesterday, who's like, oh, you know what I saw the other day? I watched The Iron Claw. I was like, yeah, what did you think? He's like, I loved it. It's like, what a crazy story, though. I like didn't think it was real and then realized it was and was like, yeah, you realize there was a fifth brother.
Yeah.
He's like, what? He's like, yeah, a fifth brother passed away. He's like, that's insane. And I then was like, you should watch Dark yeah. Side of the Ring. Like, it covers the story really well. And there's other, like, similar kind of interesting stories out there. He's like, oh, man, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
We got Terry Gordy next week.
Oh,
which I'm,
fuck yes.
It's probably the one I'm most looking forward to on this,
yes.
this season.
It's going to inspire, like, I can't lie. After watching Buff Bagwell's, nothing, no, not a single part of my being was like, huh, should I watch a Buff Bagwell match yeah. right now? Whereas next week, I have a feeling I might be like, okay, fuck, I'm putting on that tag tournament yeah. from back in the day. Terry Gordy. Yeah, that sounds sick. I don't necessarily know his full story, so very interested in and will be watching.
Frank confirms that the Paul Walterhausen match against Sami Callihan is happening at the Mark Hitchcock show.
Oh.
And check out Post Wrestling. I believe Sino's put out all the events that are happening.
That show, yeah, that show looks pretty stacked. Not going to lie. I have tickets to DDT that night, and every day they announce something, I'm like, ah, oh, but that show looks sick. So, yeah, we'll be at DDT, though, to watch a doll wrestle.
You will.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's everything going on in the world of wrestling. Thank you, everyone, in the YouTube chat. We got a lot of people in the chat today. Appreciate you hanging out with us on St. Patrick's Day, wherever you are. Enjoy your green beer, Guinness, Bailey's, water. Mm-hmm. Green leaves, whatever it is
yep.
you're doing today. Hope it's been all right. It's been weird because right before we went to record, it was beautiful and sunny out. And then as we recorded, we're professionals, but you couldn't see our eyes looking out our window being like, why the hell is there a tornado of snow? Yeah. And then fast forward, we've been talking for about an hour and a half. It looks nice again, kind of.
It's that time of year where you get every season in the day. You really need – I need those – those pants that my
tearaways?
Dad wears, yeah.
Your dad wears tearaways?
Oh, he loves them. He's like, but David, they're so good. Look, I can go out and it can be a little chilly. You know how it's chilly in the morning? I'm walking, the sun comes out, it gets warm. Zip! I'm wearing shorts. So it's really that season. It's tearaway season.
Oh, I was picturing your dad like the Adidas, like...
Oh,
rip off.
Like the Angel Garza, the Tai Chi, like...
Party boy.
Stripper pants. And... Yeah, yeah. I need to put like an extra hoodie in my bag, but yeah. also t-shirt. Like it's all over the place right
it's
now.
Wild, yes.
We're getting there. Like
yes,
it'll be summer soon. I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
Well, we're gonna be at Dynamite on Wednesday. Hit us up if you're gonna be there before or after. We might hit up a bar before, but then come to our karaoke afterwards. We'll also be going to Demand Lucha on the Thursday. Definitely get tickets to that if you haven't already. It's gonna be a fun show. Lots of stars on there: Gringo, Jack Cartwheel, Janela, all the indie, Mance Warner. I think there's tons of guys and even more so. And then in a week or so, we'll be at London, the real London, Ontario,
yeah.
for AEW Collision. So who knows? Maybe Tony will just announce Shibata versus O'Reilly or something just randomly, just to please us, maybe, possibly.
Frank's now saying he's lying and it's not the Hitchcock. So yeah, just go to postwrestling.com and check out the schedule. We're tired. We're yeah. not doing that now.
Thanks, Frank.
We're just here to entertain. We're just here to put smiles
Frank
on faces. It's not factual information.
Yeah, Frank just writing non-factual
yeah.
things
get,
in the
get
chat.
Out of here,
yeah,
Frank.
He's no Cena.
Boo.
Yeah.
Not my champion.
Appreciate everyone out there at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter, Instagram. Follow us on all our stories. And Patreon is what keeps our lights on here. And we'll be doing so many shows in the next few weeks. Our Rocky review, ECW. And on top of that, I can guarantee and promise you some very fun road diaries come Philly weekend. So join up and support your boys. It's only $5 to become a friend for a whole month's access. And it lets you access all the podcasts that we've done, all the retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews. Everything is up in there. And it's only $5. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I myself, Brayne Harrington, Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care, goodbye, be safe, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Ahoy!